Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 9 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Now, the new words you'll soon be dazzling all of your friends with and the old words you simply refuse to use. Come on, admit it. TheMinuteDictionary.com declared existential as its word of the year. You inserted it into your casual conversation, like, that purple couch is an existential threat to good taste, or your giant cinnamon rolls are an existential threat to my New Year's resolution, or all of the other rather dire thoughts you can express with the word existential. Today, Anatoly Lieberman on the new words to prepare for in 2020, the old words we simply can't stand, and the trendy words we love to say. As he joins us, I want to hear whether you've slipped a few newish words into your language in 2019. What were they? I've committed to using the word groovy at every possible opportunity, and whether there's a trendy word maybe that you love to use or you simply refuse to use, I want to hear about that word. The words that you're slipping into your conversation, the trendy words you love to hate, here's the phone number, 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828. On Twitter, at Carrie NPR, Anatoly Lieberman is a language professor at the University of Minnesota. He's the author of many books about words, including Word Origins and How We Know Them. And he's in the studio. Welcome. Good to have you back.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be back.
It's groovy to have you back.
Oh,
see?
It's wonderful. It's awesome.
Awesome. Isn't that one of those words that you just refuse to use, unless it really demands it?
Yes, that's right. I wanted to say that I actually refuse to use it, because actually is one of the words I love to hate.
What bugs you about actually?
Well, actually is a very useful word if you use it correctly, when something is really actual. But when you use it as a filler, then it's absolutely one of the words which I will no longer use in the studio because I was told not to do so.
absolutely, but, right? From our listeners.
Absolutely, yes.
Right.
I remember one of our listeners mocked me for using the word
they
absolutely.
Did. They
All
did.
Of us have such words that we use almost without recognizing that we use them. And actually is fine unless it is a filler. I'm actually in the studio, which means I am in the studio.
Right.
I'm actually very fond of answering questions, which means that I am fond. So what's the point of using this word? But we constantly use such words because they reinforce the message.
They're for emphasis often,
yes,
right?
Yes, for emphasis. And that is not so unimportant. When we write, it's ridiculous if you see the word actually in every line. But when we speak, we want to persuade and convince and in general to influence the interlocutor and other people. So we try to do it by foul means. We don't have any logical arguments, but then we have all those words. So we use them gladly. So you will actually believe that something is truly awesome, and so on.
Groovy, my friend.
Groovy.
Okay.
Well, groovy is dead now, I think.
No.
Is it not?
Groovy is experiencing a renaissance here.
I'm very glad.
Anatoly.
Words always come and go. So if groovy is back, it's fine, but then we'll begin to fight it.
To the phones to Steve in Minneapolis. Steve, is this a word you love to hate, or you are slipping into casual conversation?
It's a word I love to hate.
Okay. What
because,
is it?
Because when I first jumped into the word calculus, I realized I was in deep water because it was actually a class, and I got a C minus. And I figured that all the politicians who pick up on the word calculus, both, I should say, all of those people probably got the same C minus I did and decided the only way they could salvage their intellectual career was to pump it into the political conversations about all the ins and outs of making right decisions.
So. You know what, Steve? We're going to hear that word a lot, I think, in the reaction to this news that we just talked about. This did the Trump administration make the right calculus? How
right.
are they
yeah,
calculating
right.
this? Anatoly, how does that word strike you?
Well, it strikes me as an impossible word.
Why?
Because calculus and calculation are different things. And I think that calculus is indeed used by those who had a C- in calculus and who don't know what they're talking about. This is a very common occurrence when people use words that they have some idea of rather than knowing them. When we speak our native language, our mother tongue, we don't often realize that we don't know the language that we're using, that some of the words are misused, that some of the words we hear are misused by others, so we misuse them after those who don't know how to do it. Calculus instead of calculation is, to my mind, absolutely ridiculous, or if you want some synonyms, ludicrous, laughable.
There's always that awkward moment when you're in a conversation and you realize someone has used the word improperly.
Yes.
And you also realize that, you yourself do this. So it's that instant calculation. Should
yes.
I correct? Should I let it go?
Yeah.
Should I exchange a glance with the other person in the conversation? We both realize it was misused. What do you do?
It's like so many other things that we don't know how to deal with. When someone says something which shouldn't be said in, so to speak, good company, we blush and prefer to keep silent rather than correct this person. Controlling one's speech is a habit that very few people possess. So I wouldn't correct anyone, of course, especially in public, but I'm quite merciless when I deal with my students, especially graduate students. When I read their dissertations and their articles, then I call a spade and say, you cannot use this word. This is a wrong word. I remember one of my latest graduate students saying, it's so exasperating to be told that you don't know how to use your native language. I said, I share your feelings, weep for you, and deeply sympathize the way the walrus did, but there is nothing I can do about it.
Get over it. Right. Jill says on Twitter, I am low-key tired of the term that means sorta. Yeah, I'm guilty of that big time. To Chris in Edina, hi, Chris, what's your phrase or your word?
The phrase that's been overused this year is 100%.
I hear that all the time, Chris.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, what does that mean? So what's your interpretation of it?
Well, it's just a very quick way of saying I totally agree with you. And it started like 8-9 months ago, and it's just gotten louder and louder.
Yeah. All of a sudden, everybody was saying it. Did you notice that?
Yes.
Yeah. And a lot of podcast people. And two old words I can't stand are morsel and festoon.
What do you have against morsel? I love that
word. Just like, I think it affects me like the word
like
moist affects other people.
Oh, no, we're going down the moist rabbit hole.
Anyway,
listeners can't stand listening to it. Yeah, thanks for the call. 100%, Anatoly. Have you been hearing that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. Of course.
Not 99.5. 100%.
So that also occurs. But 100%, yes, that's what all of us hear all the time. And words, I think, these trendy words or words that everybody uses, they're like burdock. They cling to our clothes or cling to our conscience, and we forget why we use them. They become our second nature. And it seems rather good to say, I'm afraid of using the word absolutely, so instead of absolutely, you say 100%. I'm 100% sure. What can you say? I'm quite sure. I'm really sure. Or the best way is to say, I'm sure, because I'm sure means I'm sure, without any really or absolutely. And 100%, that reinforces your message. And as I said a minute ago, we all want to sound very convincing, very persuasive. And that's why we use very, which is not allowed by good editors. You shouldn't use the word you vary. If something is interesting, don't say it's very interesting. It's interesting 100%. Well, that is true. Also, there is a constant inflation of such words. That's why we use very, double the word very. It's not enough to say that someone is very clever. Someone is very, very clever. And one wonders when one will stop. But these words are used automatically. We don't realize that we use them. We hear them, we repeat them, and they become our second nature.
Anatoly Lieberman is with us on this third day of 2020. I thought, what is the best way I can think of to kick off a new year? And it's to hang out and talk words with Anatoly. We want to know from you whether you've slipped a few new words into your lingo, into your language in 2019. What are they? And whether there's a trendy word, a phrase that you simply refuse to use, but you notice it like 100% because everybody else is using it. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828 on Twitter at Carrie NPR, where someone who tweets as Nerdy McNerdson says, I've used groovy for years, mostly because I'm a huge fan of Groovy Bruce and the Evil Dead movies. I've never seen the Evil Dead movie, so I just come across groovy because it's groovy. To the phones to Dale in Rochester. Hi, Dale.
Good morning.
Hi.
Something that I've noticed over the last couple of years, and I don't know if it's widespread or if it's just there are words in English that change from a noun to a verb depending on where you place the stress.
Okay, give us an example.
Well, permit and permit.
Permit, yeah.
Subject.
Yes.
And I hear people, you know, that I know and love putting the stress on the wrong syllable sometimes. And it bothers me, but I'm certainly not going to correct them because that opens up a whole can of unpleasantness.
Hey, Dale, here's one that I immediately think of with that, and that's guilt. I can't stand it when I hear people say, he guilted me. That's just wrong. I think that violates language rules.
There are, Anatoly can certainly talk about this.
Let's let Anatoly.
How nouns become verbs.
Right.
Anatoly, I know what you mean, though.
Yeah, how does that happen?
Well, unfortunately, it has been happening for 1,000 years, and I don't think that you or I can stop it. And you say it violates the rules of the English language. No, just the opposite is true.
Really?
Unfortunately, it's exactly what the English language wants us to do. Only, like all educated people, we don't want to be ahead of progress. We want to be slightly behind, which I in general think is a feature of good taste, or whether it is in clothes or in speech or anything else, not to be with those who change very rapidly. But that is something that has been happening for years, for centuries. When English lost endings, so a word like love is both a noun and a verb.
Yes.
It's very easy to change them and say, I love, and this is love. And this has been happening all the time. The worst age for this conversion, if I may use such a word, was Shakespeare's age. When you read Shakespeare's plays and even his sonnets where he is more reserved, you find verbs which to you are only nouns. And but me no buts and uncle me no uncles and all kinds of things, they were jokes. But they were serious jokes. You say you hate the verb to guilt, but that, so do I. I would never use to guilt because I find it rather unpleasant. But that's the trend of the English language. And that is something that will inevitably happen in the future.
Okay, I have to get over that.
A language without endings. Guilt is a noun. Guilt is a verb. Who knows? All right, so why not say to guilt someone? What's wrong with it? If you can love someone, why can't you guilt someone? But you don't have to use what you don't like. It's like eating a trendy dish. Nobody makes you eat it.
Fine. Justin says on Twitter, the word right that is seemingly added to the end of all sentences, it drives me nuts. And let's see, Olivia says, I detest when people say meow instead of now, as in let's go get takeout right meow. What? I don't hear that.
Neither have I ever heard
She might have started something. Well, inadvertently, Olivia, you've started something. Anatoly Lieberman is in the studio. I'm going to read a few trendy words as known by the American Dialect Societies. They're words of the year. And I want to see if you can guess what year these were the words of the year, okay? Metrosexual. What year do you think that was the word of the year?
Yes, I know the word. I'm afraid that a word like this will never pollute my lips.
You've never pronounced the word metrosexual.
No. Though, of course, I've heard it. I've seen it. I'm not sure I've heard it, but I've seen it, of course.
You never heard anybody actually say it in conversation,
no.
But you've seen it in,
no,
I'm sure, writing,
right? No, as you very nicely
right?
put it, I actually didn't hear it.
Right, there it is. Okay, 2003. It seems like so long ago. And
yes.
Metrosexual seems so dated.
Yes. One wonders even whether this was a living word. Some of these words don't look like living bodies. They come and go, they flood us, and then everybody forgets them. That's the fate of those of many words. I think the same thing will happen to some of the words of the year that we have from Merriam-Webster and from the OED. Some will stay, but some are temporary monuments to people's temporary obsession. So they will die together with the obsessions, and nobody will care too much. Metrosexual, I could barely remember when I saw it last. But, of course, I do remember the word.
Right. How about dumpster fire? Much more recent.
Yeah. The word didn't mean anything to me. And I can only say that, yes, of course, I've seen it. And, again, I am not sure that anyone pronounced it in my presence. And perhaps some of these words are from newspapers or from paper rather than from conversation. I wonder whether many people use such words. Well, existential is something different, of course. It has clung to us and stays there. But these two words, they look dead at birth.
I know, that's right. That was 2016, though. Only a few years ago.
Yes.
Apparently everybody was using the word dumpster fire.
Dumpster fire, yes, of course.
It vanished.
That's absolutely correct and still looks like stillborn.
Man bun.
Yes.
That's still with us.
Yes. With us. I wonder with whom.
No, I have actually used the word man bun.
You do?
I think you'd look great in a man bun. How about that?
Yeah. Probably.
Think about it.
It's a rather strange array of words.
All right. Should we go back to the phones? To Amy in Lakeville. Hi, Amy. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. Thanks.
What's your word that you've... You have a word that you've actually been slipping into conversation. Is that right?
Yes.
What
is
it?
In more of a jokey way.
Okay. How?
And maybe it's because I don't completely understand what it means, but the word gaslighting.
Oh, yeah.
Which word?
Gaslighting.
Oh, gaslighting.
Yeah,
oh, yes.
Yeah. So did you start to hear this from your friends and then you thought, that sounds kind of groovy? I want to be using that word.
I mean, I think I heard it in the news. I would read about it. It was like a phenomenon that I know is not new, but I had certainly never heard of it, at least not using that phrase. And so it was such a intriguing, interesting word that I started just kind of, like I said, using it in a jokey way, like so-and-so's gaslighting someone else. And
right. Yeah.
Without knowing what it means.
So, Anatoly, what's...
Yes, that's the same reaction when Amy said, I'm not sure I heard it. I think I read it or saw it somewhere. Many of these words are born dead by newspaper people who write these words because they want to be remembered. Some words are probably invented just to be noticed, a kind of showing off, if you if you wish. And then, of course, if they're used in popular newspapers or by popular news channels, they cling. I think most of these words have no great chance of survival.
Wait, so you don't think the word gaslighting is what, being used appropriately, or you don't see when someone says he gaslighted me, I feel like I know a lot about the nuance of what happened. He fooled me. It doesn't
say enough. Yes.
I want that malice, that malevolent intent of gaslighting.
Yes,
that fits.
Because the word instead of saying he duped me, he fooled me, he gaslighted me, this looks like a great joke. I think people who use such words try to look or sound conspicuous. If you use a common word, nobody will probably notice you. But if you say something like gaslighted, everybody will smile, even if wanly, but smile and say, well, yes, that's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I don't think the other descriptions for a situation where gaslighting applies are enough. I mean, he fooled me with malevolent intent. No, he gaslighted me. Now I know what that really meant.
Yes. Well, one never knows what will happen to such words. The word doesn't sound very promising to me because it's too long to begin
you
with.
You are not buying my argument. I can see that.
I'm buying it, but it's not a bargain. Let's put it this way.
Okay, fine. Be that way. All right, to Corey in Minneapolis. Hi, Corey. Appreciate you waiting.
Hello.
Hi. What are you talking about?
Well, one word I would never like to hear again, particularly in respect to newspapers like the Times and the Post, is the word pivot.
Oh, yeah.
Which word?
Which is
pivot.
Which seems like an extremely lazy way to describe not just strategic changes in position, but also flip-flopping and outright lying.
Mm.
And it kind of legitimizes when people lie by calling it pivoting because it's so euphemistic.
Uh-huh.
And pivoting, yes, of course. Yes.
It seems like, Corey, one day you saw it once, and then it was everywhere. I mean, it's. Mm-hmm. I think it's astonishing how quickly these words,
wildfire,
these
really,
unusual
like,
words, yeah, just invade your consciousness.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's how clever it sounds.
Yeah.
When the person
yes.
is saying it.
Oh yeah. Right. Kind of a veneer of sophistication.
This veneer of sophistication.
Right.
That's absolutely right. And this pivoting, gaslighting, all those things, they sound so clever. And I understand why people use pivoting. It's easier for me to explain than gaslighted, which I think is very unpromising.
Kathy, hey, wait a minute. Kathy says on Twitter, explain about the movie Gaslight. I've never seen the movie Gaslight.
Oh, yeah. I know the movie.
All right.
Oh,
so
yes,
this is where this comes
and that's
from.
That's probably where it all started.
Yeah.
It's an old movie. At one time, it was very famous. Probably deservedly famous. I'm surprised that there are still people who remember it.
Terry says, overused word, paradigm, and love to hate phrase, hot mess. Oh, my gosh.
Well,
says, ready to move on.
If I may use one of the expressions which I really hate, I'm on the same wavelength. But I'm using it because we're in studio and I am on the same wavelength. But paradigm is a word which I not only dislike, but which I despise. The word, and I know exactly when it came into being. I don't quite remember the year. I think it was in the 60s, when a man, a scholar called Kuhn, K-U-H-N, wrote a book about paradigms of science, how things change, how points of view or positions change, and he called it paradigmatic change, paradigm. Paradigm in general is how you change the word. Love, loves, loving, loved. That's the paradigm of the word love. And if you have Latin or Greek, the paradigm is a page long. And a paradigm is a way of change. Then the paradigm, this word, caught on to such an extent that everybody began to use it. It's such a nice word, a mouthful. Instead of saying change, you say paradigm.
Uh-huh.
And this is a snobbish word which has now lost absolutely all foundation. You don't say, for example, that's a new trend, that's an interesting change. But if you want to sound important, you will say paradigm.
Because you still hear it.
Oh, yes.
That word is sticky,
yes,
right?
Sticky.
It entered the lingo and it has stuck.
I forbid my students to use the word paradigm.
You do you? So then they whisper it as you go by.
Oh, absolutely. That's what they do behind my back. Yes. They
I wish you'd get a new paradigm. Right.
Yes, paradigm.
Let me go to Paul in St. Paul, line 3, you guys. Hey, Paul. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for waiting. What's the word?
So I called it one word. I have a quick observation about when someone talked about, you know, nouns and verbs, and
yeah.
words that can be nouns and verbs.
Yes.
One of my favorite Calvin and Hobbes cartoons is, and Calvin makes the observation that verbing weirds language.
That's great. It's really great.
The main one I called in about, a word that bothers me, but I have also found myself using it, and it's used in the business world. They talked about the optics of something.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Why does it bother you?
Well, number one, I'm trained as a physicist in optics.
Uh-huh.
And so I really know optics is the study of light. And so when you talk about, you know, it to mean the appearances of something, you know, that bothers me because, you know, optics means something else. But on the other hand, it's very efficient. And it's, you know, a little bit easier to say than the appearances of, or like, you know, et cetera, some other alternative way of phrasing that. And so I kind of see why people use it, but it bothers me.
You know, Paul, I see it on cable news all the time. And it doesn't look natural. Like some reporter standing in front of the White House will say, and the president has been thinking about the optics of it's just not a natural thing, but everybody started using it. And so it feels trendy. And so journos in front of the White House use it too.
I agree wholeheartedly. Optics has been misused, mishandled, abused. But it's one of those words. It has an advantage. It is foreign. It's not homey. So you can use it and sound more educated than you really are.
Ah, okay.
And that is something that most of us like to show. To show how sophisticated we are, and using words of Greek and Latin origin or some French word, people very often forget that in order to use a word correctly, they should know what it really means. But if everybody uses a certain word, and in a certain context, that becomes part of our language, too bad or not too bad. Because that's how language has been developing all over the centuries. We're not inventing anything new. In every century, we don't know very much about the old period, but in the 16th century, in the 17th century, people raved and raged against some things which seem perfectly natural to us, and we wonder why they dislike those words. So we are continuing the trend that began long, long ago. It's probably an eternal trend.
Carol called in to say from Tofty, I'm irritated by no problem. I I knew this was you. She says, I ordered some things from the UK, and even there, they responded with no problem. Oh, I am so guilty of this.
The word has conquered the world.
Phrase,
because they say so in French, in Italian, in German. Yes,
oh.
They don't say no problem. They translate it into their language.
Yes,
but instead of saying that something is doable, something is interesting, good, something can be done, instead of saying something, instead of using your brain, just open your mouth and say no problem.
Really? But it's a shortcut for saying...
It's a shortcut for...
I'm happy to do it.
Yeah,
it was, you know, fine with me.
That's right.
What's wrong with no problem?
That's right.
Have you banned your students from using that too?
They don't write so. When they speak, I try to keep my peace and do not interfere. But you are quite right about the shortcut. Instead of saying something, you just open your mouth and the word comes out of your mouth. Shall we meet tomorrow?
No problem.
Will you take this dish? No problem. You don't have to think. It's almost like a machine.
It's polite. It's nice and polite. isn't it?
Yes, that too.
Huh?
That too, no
or
problem.
Or it's better than going, I didn't really want to do it, but I did it. No problem.
No problem, of
right.
course.
It isn't like I was enthusiastic when I did it. It was no problem.
No problem.
Right?
Yes, you can say it about anything.
I know, you can. It's great. To Jackie.
That's why it is wrong.
To Jackie in St. Paul. Hey, Jackie, what's the phrase that's caught your ear?
The phrase that's caught my ear and that when I hear it, I am derailed and I don't hear anything after it
uh-huh.
is during a meeting and someone will say, my wondering is...
What? Really? I've
yeah.
never heard that.
Yeah.
What
oh
is that?
Oh, my gosh. It just sounds kind of pompous and kind of degrading. I don't know.
What,
I don't know.
So these are people that would naturally be saying, what I'm wondering about, it's just like cutting it off and going, my wondering?
I've heard it a couple of times.
Yuck.
I didn't even understand what was meant when I heard it.
Yuck is right.
Right. So, Jackie, do you correct in the meeting or do you say something like, I think what you mean to say is what you're wondering about, or do you just keep the peace?
I just keep the peace and sit and stew there. I can't listen to what they're saying because they're so worried about how they're saying it. You know? It's just like,
I love
oh my
that
gosh.
You're sitting there and
well,
stewing
keeping,
about it.
Keeping one piece is the right attitude.
It is?
Yes. Well, you see someone using his or her fork or knife in the wrong way at table, you won't correct this person.
Aha. Uh-huh. Oh, so it's like it's like a faux pas at the...
That's right.
Which fork to use.
That's right. A linguistic faux pas.
You've
that's
worn
right.
something inappropriate. It's like that.
Yes,
just
yes.
let it go.
Yeah, just look down.
No problem.
No problem.
No problem?
No problem.
Really?
Absolutely.
Let me squeeze Pat in here in Minneapolis. Hi, Pat. What do you want to know?
What I'd like to know is how did the word impact get hijacked? It hijacked the word effect. Nobody uses. How did that affect you?
Impact affect you? And effect.
It's always how did it's used 99.9% of the time. It
okay.
just amazes me. I'd like
All right,
to
I got a
on.
Minute left, Pat. I got to let Anatoly speak on this
about impact.
Impact and how did it hijack effect?
Effect. Yes. We have been discussing, people have been discussing impact for decades. There are language panels in dictionaries like the Heritage Dictionary where they discussed whether it is proper or improper. But it's the same problem as with guilt and to guilt, where a noun turns into a verb.
Yeah.
And as long as it is new, you hate it. And then the more people use it, the more deaf you become because
it's
it becomes
true.
habitual. I don't use the word impact because I don't need it, but I'm very conservative in my speech. I try not to be ahead of the world, but most people, when they hear something, they repeat and then it becomes common.
I don't use it because I don't need it. Words to Live by Anatoly Lieberman. Anatoly, listen to this from Twitter. Intros on NPR. Hey, Ari. Hey, Tam. Hey, hey. Hey, Melissa. Oh, I am so guilty of that. So thank you, Michael, for reminding me of
that. I won't guilt you for that.
Thank you. Anatoly, back with us midwinter, I hope. We'll see you again.
Thank you.
Good
always
to have
glad
you.
To be here.
Hey, always good to have you.
Programming is supported by Great River Energy, providing reliable electric service to 28 Minnesota member co-ops with a diverse mix of power generation, including power plants and renewable energy. Great River Energy, powering what's possible.
You just heard a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. To add your voice to the discussion, you can call in at 800-242-2828 or tweet us at @CarrieNPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all our shows by subscribing to this podcast. You can send us your questions or comments by emailing talk@npr.org.